WILO 3127 and Hoosierland TV. Also brought to you by the Community Foundation of Howard, Clinton, and Carroll Counties, the Farmers Bank, Wampler Services Incorporated, Rossville Consolidated School District, Drago, Indiana, and First Farmers Bank and Trust. Right now, joining us, as you can see if you're watching on Hoosierland TV, we have Olivia Petrella, District Administrator, and Michelle Gilbert, Resource Conservationist Specialist for the Clinton County Soil and Water Conservation District, in-house with us right now. Thank you, ladies. Thanks for coming in.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Happy Ag Day.
I know when we have you guys in, we talk about a little bit of everything, and especially anything that's going on at a particular time. Right now, you've got programs that are actually in finishing up right now, and then getting ready to go into some new. So why don't you talk about what's finishing up right now? What
can we talk about South Fork?
Yeah,
I've been spending a lot of time wrapping up the South Fork. It's been a huge project, and for people that are unfamiliar, it's a South Fork of the Wildcat, and an area that pretty much encompasses Michigan Town, Mulberry, a lot of the city of Frankfort. So we've been working on that, and my predecessors before me. It's about a 10-year project, so we've done a lot. The final report, just to give you some great numbers, we put in over 51 conservation practices, which included almost 5,000 acres of cover crops, 10 equipment modifications for no-till, nutrient management, and one sprayer, which, you know, so it basically reduces the herbicide overspray. And we worked with 27 landowners at least. So some people did multiple projects. We had one of our Prairie Creek was delisted off the 303 IDEM contaminated rivers or impaired waters list. So Prairie Creek's now off. Jenkins Ditch was removed when we started the project in 2012, so we've at least had two rivers or water bodies in Clinton County that have been reduced. We kept out over 6,000 tons of sediment from our local streams and ditches, which helps with our, you know, ditch assessments, 9,000 pounds of phosphorus, and over 30,000 pounds of nitrogen out of our water bodies in 10 years. So the impact can be really large with a lot of these infield practices, especially, like I said, for our rivers, river streams and ditches. Everybody lives on a ditch, pays a ditch assessment, and with these practices that we are doing locally, that keeps those ditches healthier and allows those dip outs to take longer, which actually does save the people that are living on the ditch or all the farmers that lease or rent on those acres. It's saving them some money. Along with our county surveyor, they can work on other projects with this kind of helping. So these are the kind of things that we love to do, and we're wrapping it up, but we've had some great impact. So it's kind of bittersweet. You know, we've been working on the South Fork for a long time, but we've also had some great successes. So we're just trying to promote the success, but we're going to have to move on to a different watershed.
Yeah, that's huge numbers.
Yeah,
that's
great.
That is huge numbers.
It's huge impact. And again, just for anybody that's listening that doesn't have the tremendous ag background, that's no-till. Which, you know, you're not plowing up your fields. It's cover crops, which are protecting the fields and the soil all winter and reducing the runoff into the stream. So it's a water quality impact. It's good for the soils, and it's helping the farmers, you know, save fuel costs from not running their implements, you know, their equipment over the fields. And they're also gaining some nitrogen that they are creating too, which I know you're talking about fertilizer costs and things like that. So that's always a concern for farmers every season, no matter if the prices are up or down. They're still thinking about it, right? Because it still has a lot to do with their profit margins. So yeah, we're happy.
So what are some of we're into a new season, getting ready to start some new programs. What's some of the new programs that are going to be coming out or are already getting ready to start that you guys have started?
So, like Michelle mentioned, the South Fork project took place over a span of almost a decade where actual implementation was on the ground. So since we did three phases of that grant with IDEM, we are no longer eligible to continue with the South Fork. So that's why it ended January 15th of this year. So since this is kind of a new area for us, since we've both been in the office, we have had a active 319 grant that have kind of been set in place by our predecessors. So these grants are historically 3 years long. We were lucky to get an extension on the South Fork just because we had so much interest in it. So usually those are only 3 years. We were able to get another year in, and I think we were just at about $80,000 extra in 2025 that they gave us. So this is kind of a new area for both of us where we're kind of out exploring different grant options. We currently still have our CWI partnership with Carroll County. We were awarded that in 23, and it was $36,000 that was split between us and Carroll. So about $18,000 for Carroll and then $18,000 for Clinton. So, unfortunately, that money does go really fast. $18,000 does sound like a lot, but with what we do, $18,000 goes really fast. So we have a little bit of money left in CWI money. So right now, we are just kind of exploring different grant options out there. We're thinking about another CWI in the future, possibly doing something different with watershed grants. So this is kind of our year where we're exploring different grant options out there, trying something new, even if it is urban conservation a little bit more. We've been kind of dipping our toes into that the past couple months, just because our clientele is primarily ag-related, and we kind of wanted to show the citizens of Frankfort that we are there to also help with your backyard conservation. So that's something that we've been trying to look into here in the past couple months with invasives and things like that, seeing what kind of grant money is out there for it.
And we started the plant swap just barely last year. We do a tree giveaway every spring that's coming up, and if you want to talk about that, and then we do the fall tree sale, and we are trying to do a plant swap in coordination with that, basically to get people, if they want to remove their burning bush, their calorie pear, Bradford pear, that type of thing, to come talk to us. There's a form online, and we have a reimbursement. Like, we'll give you a free native shrub or tree. So please, we just barely brushed on that last year, but that's one of the things that we're going to try to pump up this year. And so it's going to warm up, and you're going to be out in your yard, and don't feel bad for that burning bush. We're just going to get rid of it and give you something else.
Yeah,
it's
like
okay.
We always say is break up with your burning bush.
That's right.
But last year, we did a little bit of an experiment with a swap program. So we have a annual tree sale that takes place. Usually I try to keep the order forms open for about a month, so it'll be August to September of this year. And since last year we didn't really offer the swap program the entire month, we're going to try to promote that a little bit harder this year. And going back to our tree seedling giveaway, so we do that every year during Arbor Day week. So this year it'll be April 20th through the 24th. And we will have those trees available in front of our office between 9 and 4. So if you are interested in getting any free tree seedlings, we do have a limit of 5 per household. And, oh, yes, scratch that real quick. So on Monday, the 20th, we will actually have the trees available by noon. I almost forgot about we have to go and pick them up. So we will have them from, yeah, we will not be there. We will have them from noon to 4 on the 20th. But this year we will have white pine, river birch, white oak, nine bark, button bush, and swamp white oak. So we do, for Monday through Wednesday, we try to have a limit of 5 per household, just so that we can have more residents get the trees. But after Wednesday, if you are interested in getting more, we do have a sign-up sheet where we will call you back. And if we do have a surplus of a certain species, you're more than welcome to come Thursday and Friday and pick up an additional 5, 10, 15, just so that we can get the trees out. We would rather have them given to the residents than sitting in our office.
And some of those have a tendency to go quicker than others, right?
Yes. Usually our white pine is the first to go. We try to order double the amount of white pine each year. It just depends on how much the DNR has available. So this year we were only able to get 100. I know last year we got 200 of them. So If you are interested in white pine, I would suggest coming Monday afternoon or Tuesday morning, because that is one of the first ones to go, and also our nine bark. Last year was one of the first ones to go as well.
And the button bush is another shrub, because we were trying to just like branch out. Some people don't have enough room to plant trees, but a lot of times you have room for a shrub. And also, just wanted to mention that Olivia does a really good job of posting the quantities. So if you get on our Facebook page that week, you'll be able to see what the quantity is. So if there's a certain tree or something you want, she'll post, hey, we're out of white pine, or because that will probably be the first to go.
Do you guys supply some instructions, care instructions on planting? Because you said swamp white oak. So my mind goes to, I need to plant that in a wet area. Is that the case? Or do you, what kind of information do you supply folks, if interested, on proper planting and care to ensure a long, healthy life for these trees and shrubs?
IDNR has the planting instructions that we provide, and we can do like the species information too, because she does a really good job on the fall tree sale. Has great descriptions on you know, the benefits maybe to wildlife, the amount of, like, soil types, because like you're saying, like a wetness is usually like, you know, soils and sunshade, things like that. So, and how large the tree gets, because so we will, yeah, we will provide all that if they have questions. So just let us know, because usually it's outside, and if it's really windy, it's the information will either be under a rock, or we'll have to go in the lobby to get it so it doesn't blow away. But yes, absolutely, you are correct. Swamp white needs wet feet, a little bit wet area, beautiful oak tree, though, that kind of curves. And it's really nice for those wetter woods, and let's just face it, in a lot of areas in Indiana, the woods is here because it is wet. So if you want to improve your woods and maybe plant some of these out here, or you have an area that's you know, adjacent to a woods, that may be a good indication. But yes, don't put it in the driest part. Don't plant the swamp white on top of a knob or something like that, because that won't be a good location for it. But we're happy to talk to you about that.
Yeah, I've taken advantage of that, and I have some beautiful white oaks, or not white, some red oaks and some white pines, you know, growing currently from this program, and they're beautiful. So I appreciate that you guys are investigating, you know, some other grant opportunities. And so, you know, you talked a little bit about maybe some urban opportunities as well. You know, we're most probably in the county familiar with your rural type programs where we can help with cover crop seeding and reducing those sediment loads and keeping the soil, you know, where it is and armored and healthy. But what do some of those opportunities for urban projects look like?
So for the past couple of months, I have been in talks with the other counties that have these programs already established, like Boone County, Tippecanoe, Hamilton, Hendricks. And since I know they do have quite a bit larger towns than we have in Frankfort, we've just kind of been taking small steps on how to introduce these new practices. And the one area that we have kind of done, I would say, the most research on is the invasives, because that seems to be quite a bit of an issue here, not only in Clinton County, but all of our other surrounding counties. It's been a little bit of a hot topic. So I've been talking with a lot of the small groups that have weed wrangles. They're doing workshops, and they're offering seed packets and things like that to get the word out about invasives, just because a lot of our neighborhoods are planted with oriental landscaping plants that a lot of people do not realize that they are invasives, because at the time, you could go to Lowe's, Menards, any of these places, and when you are doing your landscaping for a new home, you're really not looking at, oh, is this a native plant to Indiana? A lot of times you're looking for curb appeal. Like, you do want your landscaping to look nice. So we are trying to show that not all natives are green, gray, like your native grasses and things like that. There is purple coneflower. There's milkweed. There's things like that that do have that beautiful color that will attract your native bugs. Monarchs is a big thing that we are trying to promote as well. So it's just kind of getting the word out there that invasives are bad, but here is a replacement. We do not want people to think, oh, well, they want me to get rid of five of my burning bushes, but how am I going to afford to replace them? So that's why we've been kind of exploring grants and things like that, and even educational land surveys that we can go out to anybody's property if they fill out a request form, just to give them a little bit of insight on what on their property is invasive and what they can replace it with. Because I think that's another thing, too, is you do not want to replace it with something that, for instance, might not survive in those conditions. So trying to find a good replacement or a swap is what we're currently trying to explore right now. It's just trying to get the funding, the word out. A lot of this funding does require us to have a backlog of
interest
and things like that to show that the money is needed in Clinton County. And I think that's the hardest aspect is, yes, somebody might be interested, but it's finding 10 people, 20 people who are interested, and us to be able to show that we do have an interest in Clinton County. So that's something that we've been slowly working on through our newsletters, through workshops and things like that. It's just kind of formulating a group of interest to show that the money is needed here.
Sounds like a call to action to the folks listening on the radio.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very
give us
so.
A call. Because like I said, we offer free technical assistance. And like you said, the farmers know that. Our like we said, our frequent flyers, the people, they know who we are, and they pretty much know what we're available to help them with. But rural residents and your and just your city folks, they all have a large impact on our wildlife. And because you think wildlife, you think large animals, but it all starts, the food web starts with bugs and the soil. So when you have the native plants that supports the soil system, and you start from the bottom up, and it doesn't matter how big a property you have, it helps.
Explain a weed wrangle.
Oh.
Yes.
You said that, and it's like,
weed wrangle.
It's a little bit of a tongue twister. I have to kind of slow down to say it. But it is a organization through, it's the, they're called SICM. It's the State of Indiana Invasive Cooperative Management. That's a little bit of a tongue twister, too. But they host events where they have volunteers from the county. Other counties will volunteer as well, and they will go to certain areas, parks, trails is a big one as well, and they will remove invasives. So sometimes these workshops are 2 hours all the way up to a day, just depending on what you sign up for. So I'm actually going down to Boone County this weekend to help them, but also kind of get an idea of how they're ran. So, because we've been talking the Big Four Trail that runs up through Colfax. So, Boone County is currently working on their section, and they have offered to help us on our section to kind of get the word out that there are invasives on the trail and just kind of build up a volunteer basis.
So, when we're using that term invasives, are we gearing just up for vegetative, or are we also looking at insects and wildlife invasive species to mitigate those as well?
I'm just looking at plants right now, Adam. I don't have that kind of budget. but if we get rid of the invasive plants and allow natives, then we'll get some of that. But I understand what you're saying. But right now
it's just vegetative.
We're the only part of the problem that we're trying to work on is, like Olivia said, we're going to join efforts with Boone County to get that beautiful trail in Colfax even more gorgeous without its invasives.
I saw the other day the proper way to trim a Bradford or Callery pear is to
cut it out of
chainsaw horizontally about 4 inches above the ground. Is that accurate?
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
Go ahead and treat it with herbicide too, right? Okay, we're gonna treat it.
Copper nails.
Yeah.
Copper nails, yeah. Sulfate, anything salty. Let's just capitalize on that just for a minute. We talk about the Bradford pears, we talk about burning bushes. What are some of the other common invasives? I mean, I know there's a ton of them that have been brought here because they were pretty, and we, for lack of knowledge, they came in, birds have helped carry the seeds, they've multiplied all over the place. What are some of the most common invasives that you see, even in, as you said, urban areas that people don't realize?
That barberry is another one.
Japanese barberry.
Yeah. And you hear the name Japanese, you know, so that barberry is very common. It's got like a reddish color because, again, we're looking for curb appeal with landscape. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these are pretty. And there's also, like, is it Amur? There's another honeysuckle. Maybe it's a Japanese. There's three different ones. Those are like Tartarian or something. And so even though the normal honeysuckles in the woods, there are still some landscape ones. There's lots of grasses that I don't want to, I hate to say it on air, but you may know who you are if you've got those fountain grasses in your yard. That's another one that is just very popular. And again, there are native grasses out there that are gorgeous, little blue, big blue. We can set you up with something else. And sometimes it can be difficult to remove these. Like I said, they're established. But your Callery pear or your Bradford pear and the burning bush are the largest. I would say that's the biggest concentration of them. Because, boy, buddy, did we plant burning bush by the, I mean, just the thousands. I mean, it's
told
everywhere.
Before there was a ban on that stuff being brought to Indiana, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I had them all around my house. And as soon as I found out they were invasive, it was like, oh, crap.
I cut down one of my, Olivia know. And I started doing a fall survey to try to assess, because there was a question from one of our commissioners about, well, what is the economic impact of removing them, of dealing with natives? And it's hard to find that information out there. So we started kind of our own survey so that we could have some, you know, some real numbers basically to work with. And it is, I mean, we knew they'd be high. You don't have to drive around this county very long to realize these subdivisions and your rural homes, almost all of them have like three burning bush.
I think we were up to about 150 in not even a 5 mile radius. So they are definitely out there. Since there's only two of us, it is definitely a long project that we're just doing a little bit of baby steps. So getting this information is probably going to take us a long time, just because the sheer amount of invasives that we are seeing, we want to make sure that we are creating formulas and spreadsheets and things like that to make sure that we are accurate with our numbers. So when we do present them for grants and citizens that are interested, and also our commissioners and things like that, that we do have a good, I would say, kind of that economic development, because at the end of the day, it is a lot of money, the removal and the replacement and things like that. So we just want to make sure that we are prepared, so when that time does come, we have some pretty accurate numbers.
I know we're getting close on time, so for anybody who wants to, like, do an assessment and have you come out and take a look, or just want more information about it, you know, going to want more information on I call them saplings, the little saplings, seedlings, trees, picking those up. You've also got your flowers, your seeds. Talk about those too before we have to sign off here.
Oh, we purchased native seeds last year for giveaways, just to promote. Again, you've got this double. It's like invasive species are bad, but native species are good. So, and everybody likes talking about positive things more. So we try to give these away so people can do something positive in their property. And we still have them to give away, and we thought about giving some away at the tree giveaway. So even if you don't want to plant a tree or you don't want to plant a shrub in your yard, if you have a pot or a piece of ground that you're willing to put these native seeds in, come pick those up, and we'll be happy to talk to you about them, or just give them to you, and you can, if you know what you're doing. And I would say to contact us, you can call our office, you can get on our website, you can email, there's an email for a Gmail account that you can get to us. We'd be happy to do, like I said, a land survey at your residence, and we also would be happy to talk to you about the plant swap, if that's something you're interested in.
Well, again, we've been talking with Clinton County Soil and Water Conservation District, Olivia Petrella, who is the district administrator, and Michelle Gilbert, who is the resource conservation specialist. And I know we've had multiple conversations about invasives, and I did find that tree of heaven, and we've got to talk because I don't know how to get rid of that thing. It's right next to my rose bush that is over 100 years old. I don't want to lose the rose bush.
And I'm not going to tell you how to do your job, but I think we could do an entire party line on Tree of Heaven. Because I also was not sideswiping you, Adam. It is a problem. Mm-hmm. It is a problem.
Yeah.
But we don't like to call them city trees because nobody planted them. You know, or for the swap program.
Yeah.
Like, because I had somebody else ask, like, oh, could we do mulberries or something? And it's like, again, like, birds planted those. Like, most likely nobody planted that. And I'm not saying that doesn't
Your home
fit,
for classic hits, AM 1570.
We're hoping to get rid of the things that were intentionally planted. Now, I will help you with your information because Tree of Heavens are very difficult to kill, and Purdue University has been working on it because they're that difficult. And they've got some information on it, but we can kill them. It just...
I just don't want to kill the rose bushes next
yes.
to it.
No, I can tell you how to do it. We've done it, and I can say personally, I've done it in a like a prairie situation, and other things don't die. So,
well, ladies, appreciate you guys coming in, and of course, we'll have you back in on Party Line again, and we'll talk more, especially when we get closer to time to give away trees and seeds and everything else. You're listening to Ag Day, presented by Skiles Electric on WILO and Boone 1027, Hoosier Land TV. It's also brought to you by the Community Foundation of Howard, Clinton, and Carroll Counties, the Farmers Bank, Wampler Services Incorporated, Rossville Consolidated School District, Drago, Indiana, First Farmers Bank and Trust. We're going to break now for AgriTalk and Farm at Noon, and then we will be back in roughly an hour and 10 minutes or so. So we'll see you then, and our next guest coming in.
We've got Eric Pfeiffer from Hoosier Ag Today.
And he just got back from Africa. We are going to pick his brain on all kinds of stuff. Sorry, Eric. I hope you're already here and not driving.